Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath.
He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter sheaves over the wide earth.
He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his hand.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. A reading from 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Now these are the last words of David. The oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. For does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my health and my desire? But worthless men are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. But the man who touches them arms himself with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thank you, God.
A reading from the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days Jesus appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Therefore, he says also in another psalm, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish. For I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I know you just heard the last words of David from 2 Samuel 23, but I'd like to read them for you again. They're dense and thick, and there's a lot packed away. These are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high. The anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, his word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, "When one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like a rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. For does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But worthless men are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand. But the man who touches them arms himself with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire." This is our text. The book of Hebrews says this. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Another way of saying this is, blessed are those who die with such assurance, with such certainty, with such conviction. Blessed are those who die in faith, believing the promises of God. The question for you is this: how would you confess your faith, your certainty, at the end? How might your will, your obituary, your funeral, your gravestone bear witness to what you believe? What would you want your last words to be? Now, these are the last words of David. That's how our text begins. I don't think it means these are the last words that David physically spoke, but they're his last will and testament. With these words, he's determined to die and to depart this life. When people remember David, he wants these words from 2 Samuel 23 ringing in their ears. They might as well be the epitaph written over his tomb, as if they said, "Here's my point of view. In this faith, I'll abide forever." And he starts like this: "The oracle of David, the son of Jesse." Notice what he doesn't say. In 1 and 2 Samuel, there's a whole lot more written about David, but he doesn't boast here in his last words about his accomplishments, his conquests, his kingdom, or his wealth. He doesn't even call himself King David. He doesn't give us his resume. Instead, he calls himself simply the son of Jesse. He confesses his birth. Now, he might as well say, in confessing his birth, as he says in Psalm 51, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." To confess that he is a son of Jesse is to confess that he was born in sin. That's what it means to be the son of Jesse. He confesses the sin and death that he inherited from his father. There's modesty and there's humility here. I don't know that I've ever read someone's obituary that began with the words, "He was a poor, pitiful sinner." Maybe David's still thinking about the whole David and Bathsheba affair. And yet that's not where he's headed either. He's not going to give a tell-all memoir or record of his sin. He says, "The oracle of the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." The man who was raised on high. With these words, David delights in something given to him from above. To be raised on high means to be firmly established or assured. What assurance does David have? He's assured of this. He's assured of the anointed, that is, of God's Messiah. Even though he's living 1,000 years before the Christ would come, he has this certainty. Martin Luther describes the joy and gratefulness that David must have with these words: "I am the man to whom God promised the Messiah of the God of Jacob, that the Messiah will descend from me, from my blood, from my tribe and family. I am sure and convinced of this, not only because this has been promised me by God, but also because I firmly believe this, because I hold to this unswervingly and immovably, knowing that I cannot be disappointed in this belief, and because I implicitly trust in God's word with all confidence. Therefore, I am cheerful and stand ready to live or die when and how God wills. I know where I, or where my soul will abide, where I will leave it. I will not have it go astray or linger in doubt or depart wretchedly. I have God's definite assurance regarding his Messiah. And on that account, I shall have a firm and inflexible faith." That's what David's words mean. And so David is truly the sweet psalmist of Israel. He can't keep the promise of the Messiah to himself. He wants others to know about it. He has to preach and sing about the grace of God. Perhaps you've met a Christian like this, one whose heart and life are filled with praise and thanks to God. They can't help but speak of Jesus and his love. And they do it not in a browbeating sort of way, but with an infectious faith. Or maybe you've read an obituary like this, or been to a funeral that makes this good confession. David would call such things sweet because of the sweet comfort they give to troubled consciences by pointing them to Jesus. And that's exactly what David's psalms do as well. They proclaim not David, but the sweet, sweet son of David. I think that in David's last words, he would want us to do nothing more than to pick up the scriptures and especially the Psalms and make them our own and pray them again. David's last words continue: "The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. Do you notice what David says here? He describes three speakers here. First, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit who inspires what he says. Second, the God of Israel, God the Father who has given him the promise of the Messiah. And third, the Rock of Israel, the person of the Son of God. He confesses here the Blessed Trinity. As Luther puts it, all three persons speak, and yet there is but one speaker, one promiser, one promise, just as there is but one God. But about whom does the Holy Trinity speak? Who is it that rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God? Who dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes the grass sprout from the earth? Is David speaking here about himself? Well, that can't be the case, because David's reign is nearing its end when he says these words. It's only three chapters later when we read in 2 Samuel, "Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." After a reign of 40 years, his rule comes to an end, and he entered the Lord's rest. St. Peter makes a similar point in his Pentecost Day sermon. He cites the 16th Psalm. In Psalm 16, David says, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." He speaks about someone whose body will not become corrupted. And Peter notes that David couldn't possibly be speaking about himself because his body was buried and his body saw decay. So it is here in David's last words. When David speaks of a just ruler whose kingdom is like a new day of morning light, like the brilliant sun, like a life-giving rain, he isn't thinking of himself or his kingdom. David is convinced that a faithful king will follow him. He proclaims this good news before he dies. Such a king is a blessing and a gift to his people. Listen to how David describes this future king. He rules in righteousness because he fears the Lord. He's like the light of the morning sun, sort of longing for the clouds to be gone and the sun to be shining on us today. He banishes the darkness and ushers in the dawn of a new day. He brings life out of death. He causes the earth, everything and everyone on it, to flourish like a garden, like Eden. He takes up armor and spear against the thorns. It's the promise of a golden age, an eternal kingdom, a new creation, the life of the endless world to come. As the prophet Malachi promised, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. This is what David foresees in his last words. And finally, he brings these last words to a close, saying, "For does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But worthless men are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be taken with the hand, but the man who touches them arms himself with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire." Ultimately, David prophesies here about the Messiah. You might say that he gives us a full-length portrait of Jesus, true man, and yet also true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity. And this portrait he gives us of Jesus goes beyond his crucifixion, because it paints a stunning picture of his resurrection and his ascension. of Jesus living and reigning. He will be victorious over every foe. As Jesus said of himself following his resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. St. Paul declares the same thing to the people of Athens, saying that the true God commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of that he has given assurance to all by raising that man from the dead. Risen Jesus will be the righteous and just ruler for whom David was longing and waiting. So David inherited death from his father Jesse. He was buried like his fathers before him. And yet he ends his last words with the firm assurance that death will not be the end. He expects to inherit life from his son. He foresees the gospel of God, later proclaimed by Paul, of the one who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. These are the last words of David. His son lives and reigns, and so David will live too. So what about you? What statement do you want to make when your last hour draws near? What would you want your last words to be? How would you like your funeral to confess what you believe to family and friends? How about this? Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has redeemed me by his own blood, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. In the face of death, let's join David in confessing his last words, that his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, lives and reigns to all eternity. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations on the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew my spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
God of majesty, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, we give you thanks for David, who through the Psalter gave your people hymns to sing with joy in our worship on earth, so that we may glimpse your beauty. Bring us to the fulfillment of that hope of perfection that will be ours as we stand before your unveiled glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live, move, and move, and have our being, we humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your word and spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.